Okay, today we're going to share on how to pray for our future. Now, I think this is one of the most common concerns of graduates. Now, for most students, the reason why they are studying here is because of a future they hope for. You see, people are either hopeful or perplexed because of their future. And you know, we human beings, created by God, and we are created to be conscious of time. That is, we cannot live totally contented with what we have right now. We need a future to look to. We're different from animals, you know. Animals, they're driven by an instinct to survive. They have an instinct to hunt, to mate. And even ants, when they store their food, it's not for a future. They are driven by an instinct to do so. They're not like human beings. We possess an inclination, a tendency, a desire to look to the future, to think ahead, and then find hope from it, isn't it? So in fact, if you look at what we're doing every day, we are doing it for a future, no doubt. You see, some of you know you're going to the States, right? And we are all excited about it. You talk about it. I saw you start planning about it, and it gets you motivated to find a job, earn some money for that future trip. And after you go for that trip, I believe you're not going to just be contented with the experience you get for that trip, right? You will want to see what that experience can do for you in the future. What can it point you to? In fact, you need to think like that. What after that? What after the US trip? And then it gives more meaning to it. Now, one of the all-time favorite verse in the Bible is Jeremiah 29 verse 11. All-time favorite. Now I'm going to read to you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now notice that. Hope and a future. You see, from this verse, we know that God knows. We need a hope for the future. You see, even when the Israelites, they're being carried into exile. Now, God has promised them a hope for the future, which otherwise, none of them can pull through this moment of pain and anguish. It's the same for everyone. It's the same for people in suffering. See, when a person is sick, he needs a hope for the future. What after I got well? What after that? You know, it's not just, you know, getting this sickness and waiting for myself to get well. Now, it brings no comfort. And when we're studying, we need a hope for the future, right? What after I graduate? So in short, there's nothing wrong to need a future or to hope for a future. Now, but I know some of you may say, didn't God say, do not worry about tomorrow? Do not worry about the future, because the tomorrow will worry about its own, right? We know that verse. Everyone knows that. Now, many people cannot reconcile this. Once they read this verse, do not worry about tomorrow, they think it's faithless to think too much about tomorrow. Some people just get worried about, you know, after graduation, what am I going to work as? And then someone will say, have faith, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Now, how do you reconcile this? How do you? Now, you see, what I get is worrying about tomorrow and needing a hope in future is a different thing. You see, the fact is, you can hope for a future without worrying about tomorrow. Can you? You could. But you say it's hard not to worry when thinking about the future. You see, that's a problem with everyone, or with at least most people. It's hard not to worry when you think about what you're going to do tomorrow, whether you have enough to spend tomorrow. You know, it's hard not to worry. Now, this is where I want to get you thinking through this session. Now, when thinking about the future gets you worried, causes you an anxiety, it is simply for two reasons. Now, you got to think through these two reasons. So I'm going to bring you through. Why is it thinking about the future gets you worried? Number one, simply because you are thinking about a future without God's plan in it. Now remember what the Lord says before he talks about a hope for the future. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, most of the time, we are thinking about a future without God's plan in it. We are only thinking about our own future, the experiences I want, the places I want to go, the kind of academic credentials I want to have, the job I want to be in, the age I want to get married, an age I want to have children. You see, yes, there is a plan of God to prosper you, to satisfy you, to expose you to different kind of experiences at different phases of your life. But the bottom line is, there is a big plan of God in the midst of these sub-plans. Understand? The big plan. What is that big plan? Now, if you look back at the context of Jeremiah 29, you know, God has brought the Israelites into exile because of their sins in idolatry. It's a painful thing for the people of God. But now God, through Jeremiah, spoke to his people to give them a hope and a future, to let them know that this is not going to be forever. There is going to be a future redemption. After 70 years, God is going to bring all of you back from exile. So everything that is happening to them right now, every sub-plans, every small plans that God has for them right now, including living in this land of exile, you need to eat right, you need to farm, you need to feed your family, or you even need to learn about the language and the culture of this nation. Every one of these small plans is to point you to that big plan, that future redemption. Saw that? You see, now we must apply it to ourselves today. We are waiting for the ultimate future redemption today, when Jesus is going to come again and restore every one of us and bring us into eternity. That is everything. But the problem with most of us is we get so held up with the small plans. We lost sight of the big plan. And we're being held up by our small plans. And that gets us anxious about the future. Like the job I want to do, the fun I want to have. Yet we never seem to be satisfied. Sometimes when we forget about that big plan, that is, God wants to save his people. That's the most glorious redemptive plans of the whole human history. God wants to save his people. And God wants us to be fully involved in that, to use everything we have for the big plan. Why? Because everything in this world now ties to this big plan. The world exists today because of this big plan, this future redemption. The reason God puts you here in NUS for academic training is because of this big plan. But when we forgot about that, we only end up planning for ourselves, planning for what is temporal. And sometimes we might get those plans from people around us. You know, we might be influenced by our friends, our cousins, our siblings, you know, wow, look at the experience that they are getting. Look at how they plan for their lives, how they enjoy it, how they enrich themselves. You know, and then we are living in someone else's plans. You notice that? Because we forgot the big plans of God. Then we take other people's plans and make them ours. And we have a hard time living like that. And because of that, we start taking everything into our own hands. We want to have more control in our lives. The more we do that, the more we lose the big picture. Do you realize that happened to us? Now, when I was about your age, I always wanted to travel the world. I want to be traveling to places to get new experiences. I'm always envious of people who could travel in their job. No, so when I started working, the furthest I went for a working trip was Kuala Lumpur. Not even out of Malaysia. And mind you, during my time, air tickets were quite expensive. You know, you guys are just spending $1,000+ for an air ticket to the States. You know, during my time, air ticket to the States alone was $2,000+ easily. I don't know why. You know, like 20 years ago, 20 years till now, the only thing that is going down is air tickets. Now, but I know. But I know clearly. You know, God doesn't fulfill those plans for me, you know, in my younger days. But when I knew about the gospel, I just let go of that intention. I find myself going to church, taking Bible studies, ministering to people. And today, you know, I am like everywhere around the world for the gospel. So bottom line is, no problem about wanting a future, but it's a future that involves the biggest plan of God. In that plan, you lack no good thing. In that plan, God promises peace and prosperity. All right, that's number one. So I said again, why do you worry when you think about your future? That's because you're missing God's biggest plan when you think about your future. And another reason, why are you being held back by anxiety when you think about your future? Now, that's because you don't understand. When God leads you to a future, what is the most important thing is not what you ultimately get, but rather God wants you to obey the commands of the Lord as you look to your future. Now, the Bible gives you the commands of the Lord about how you should live by guided truth principle. And with that truth principle, how you should test and seek the will of God in everything you do. You know why? Because the world is going to give you trouble. Even if you have the big plan of God, the world is going to come down hard on you. The world is in enmity with God, and it is not going to give you rest. It is going to plague you with worries, anxieties, such that you will lose your focus. It's going to get you all distracted. The world is a cruel place for Christians. That's why I know sometimes, although we know the big plan of God, like things like studying, managing relationship, living with our family, you don't know why these things just trouble you, distract you, and gets you overwhelmed at times. And that's why God gave us His commands, so that we abide to what He said as we pursue a hopeful future. With that, we will not be laden down with the care of ordinary folks. You see, I pastor a church, and one of the most complicated things is managing relationships. Sometimes you have to manage people with all kinds of needs, people who absorb you, people who are unreasonable even. Sometimes we could get very absorbed into what people say and how they react to you and your decision. You see, but I always had it in me that if I've done the right thing in all good conscience before God and men, it doesn't matter to me if people tell me, oh, Pastor, I don't agree with you. I don't think you understand my needs. Now I've heard your needs. I've understand your difficulties, but this is what I have to do, what I have to say, what I have to decide, and my heart will be at rest. Because I know in my heart, I am not here just to win an argument or to speak for myself. I'm here to obey the commands of the Lord as a servant of God or as a father or as a husband or for you as a student. Blessed is he who obeys the commands of God. He will have a prosperous future. And that's why God says in Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. And even if you have the big plans of God, be careful to obey God in every of your intention and endeavor, and you will not be overwhelmed by every small plans you have for your future. So I'm going to end with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. Now, if you could turn with me, all right, this is a very short verse, very renowned verse. I believe some of you would have been able to memorize that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And here it goes. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, verse 33, I want to bring you to the word first. But seek first. Now, the Greek word for this is proton. Proton. Now, what this word actually meant, it meant first, as if in not in chronological order. It doesn't mean, okay, you seek first the kingdom of God, and then after that, you seek a job, seek good results, you know, seek a spouse, and seek a career, you know. It's not in chronological. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it's not as if, oh, you first pursue the kingdom and righteousness of God. No, let's go for the mission trip. Then after your mission trip, you're going to go on and pursue your studies, your job, your marriage. Not in chronological order this way. If you have that kind of Christian belief, you will likely end up as a Sunday Christian. You will naturally live a Christian life as if, oh, let's go to church on Sunday, give our dues and our tithes to the Lord, and then you live the rest for yourself. Live the rest of the 6 days for yourself. No. The word proton means first. But first in time and place. First in everything we are doing. It's always the first and foremost consideration in everything. As you look for a job, as you choose a module, as you pray for a spouse, as you go into a marriage next time, you know, as you have children, it's always the kingdom and the righteousness of God as the nucleus. You get what I mean? So, seek first what? His kingdom and then his righteousness. So, what is his kingdom? What is his righteousness? Simple, right? The answer is right there. As I've just said, his kingdom, meaning his redemptive plan. As I've just said. And his righteousness is not just about morality, helping people, being good and nice. No, it's about obeying his commands, his will, his instruction. Let this be first in your pursuit of everything about your future. Then you will not be trapped by the anxiety of worrying for your future. So having understood this, how do you pray for your future? How do you pray for your future? Simple. Number one, pray that you can be everything for the gospel. Pray that you can be everything for the redemption plan of God. Pray, God, let me be involved. let my life, let my academic training, let my marriage next time be involved in your redemptive plan. And that's the way you should be praying for your future. Pray how every experience you're going to have, whether it's success or setback, whether it's fun-filled or challenges, whether it feels pleasant or unpleasant, pray that every of this experience can be used or involved in the redemptive plan of God. So going to the States at the end of the year is not just going to be an experience itself. At least that's what I pray for you for. Because that experience will die off very quickly when you reach the end of the trip. Now, it's going to get... The most interesting part of the trip is before you go. Now, you are just anticipating, you know, oh, just a few more weeks and we are going to America. And the excitement died down when you reach the airport. And then after you're halfway through the trip, oh, you feel as if it's going to end. And then everything ended. So what next? Right? Now you got to know, it cannot be just an experience itself. That experience will die off very quickly when you reach the end of the trip. But the redemptive plan of God stays on. It stays active. So even with praying for a future career or a spouse, pray, oh God, let it have a part to play in the great redemptive plan of God. You know, for me and my wife, we know in every moment of our marriage, nothing happens to us apart from the kingdom of God. Every joy, every sadness involved in our marriage has a part to play in reaching out to people. And for that, we are so clear. And that's why we don't even have to pray, oh God, help us love each other. Protect our marriage. No, we don't have to pray that. Once we have our marriage for the purpose of the redemptive plan of God, our marriage is already protected. Amen to that? So, pray that every part of you, everything about you can be for the gospel, can be involved in the redemptive plan of God. That's number one, the way you pray for your future. And number two, you pray for a future where you will learn about obeying the commands of the Lord, where you will keep learning, in fact. Now, when I only learn about the commands of God as a student, I know it's not enough. It's not comprehensive enough. There are so many things in life which is more breathtaking, more challenging, that God wants to bring me through. And that is where I learn to obey the commands of the Lord again and again. And I desire to learn more about God's commands in those times. You know, when I ask my children, what can I pray for you? All they say is exams. Pray for exams, no? And then I ask them, you know, other than exams, don't you have any other things to pray for? You know, because, I mean, day in, day out, that's what their concern is, you see. But I think in life, it's not just dealing with exams or friends. You know, I've come a long way. I've dealt with mental patients. I've dealt with people who are unreasonable, self-centered. I've dealt with broken people, broken family. I dealt with all kinds of complications in my life. I haven't dealt with my own weaknesses and sins at times. So I pray, Lord, I want a future where I'll get to learn to obey your commands during every of those moments. I don't want a job where I just draw a salary, feel secure, and that's it. That's typical Singaporean life. There is no meaning to that. I want to know with every situation and circumstances that God has given me, how do I obey His commands? How do I become more Christ-like? Now look at David, King David. He doesn't just learn how to obey the commands of God as a shepherd boy.
You see, yes, he started off as a shepherd boy. He learned to obey God by looking after the sheep well. And then God moved him to another platform where he learned the will of God when he is fighting the giant Goliath. And then after that, he learned to obey the commands of God when he's running away from Saul. He learned how to spare his enemies, even to spare Saul's life. He learned how to run the nation as a king. He learned how to repent when he has sinned. And he learned how not to grow proud, even when he grew strong in power. Remember how he counted his fighting men? And God disciplined him again? He was learning again and again, and most important of all, he learned about the grace and mercy of God in all this. Now, the infinite situation and circumstances designed for you to learn about the commands of God. So, pray right, and you will receive amazing answers as you tread your future.